بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In this part, part 22, we are still talking about the rejectionist Shia's position in terms of the matter of creed of Iman. And what we will talk about first now is the belief regarding the promise, which is known in Islam as Al-Wa'd, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit to paradise. Opposite to that is the threat. The threat is the admittance, or regarding the admittance to hell. We seek refuge in Allah from that. Their understanding of the promise is that they invented for it narrations and the news, attributing it to some of the Imams, whereby the promise of reward was assigned to matters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send down no authority, did not send down any authority on it. To the contrary, the evidence and the proof indicates their prohibition and them or these matters being from shirk. Like, for example, cursing the Sahaba, cursing the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is forbidden. To them, they considered it to be one of the most noble acts which draws the rejectionist Shi'i nearer to Allah most. As in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 27, page 218. And like striking the face and the chest, torturing the self, which you see it, which you may have seen it on many of the news clips or on some media on the net and outside the net, and them striking themselves also with knives and swords in the name of commemorating the death of Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu. This is considered to them from the greatest acts of obedience. Check for that the book Aqaidul Imamiyya Lizzanjani, volume 1, page 289, and Al-Ayat Al-Bayyinat Li Muhammad Hussein Al-Kashif Al-Ghata, a contemporary one of them, page 4 and afterwards, and Da'iratul Ma'arif Al-Shi'iyya, volume 21, page 706. So insulting the Sahaba is considered as a means of nearness to Allah. And from the latest, or from the latter ones, their contemporary ones, who insult the Sahaba and doubt their Islam, is this infamous Hassan Nasrullah, known as Hassan Nasrullah, when he insults Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that Abu Sufyan plotted to enter Islam in order to destroy the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, considered the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a criteria for those who want to follow the true deen, an example, and that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. So people should distinguish the matters of creed from the matters of politics and focus on the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which entails association with the believers and the dissociation from those who insult the companions, the ones who were entrusted with the deen and brought us the deen from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So insulting them is like insulting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and insulting the deen at large.
أيها الإخوة والأخوات، أيها المسلمون، أيها العلماء، عودوا ودققوا وستتأكدون أن مشروع أبي سفيان منذ بعثة محمد إلى وفاة أبي سفيان كان في الحرب الظاهرية أو في مواقع النفاق، كان مشروعه دائما كيف يقضي على دين محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
This is the voice of Hassan Nasrullah insulting Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu and claiming that he plotted, and his was major concern was to enter the deen of Allah, to destroy it, to destroy the deen of Islam. You have heard this now from him. More also on this.
كل دين محمد الذي يتفق عليه المسلمون ويرتقي حوله المسلمون ويؤمن به المسلمون بكل طوائفهم. ثم جاءت تطورات وأحداث. أبو سفيان قال للطلقاء وأبناء الطلقاء شيئا آخر، وسم لهم سياسة أخرى، اختراق دولة الخلافة الإسلامية. اذهبوا حاولوا ان تحصلوا على مناصب، على مواقع قوة. وقال لهم بشكل واضح وصريح كما ينقل المسعودي في مروج الذهب ومصادر اخرى، يا بني امية تلقفوها تلقف الكرة، كيف الطابي الناس يزرطوها لبعضهم ويتلقفوا فيها ويمسكوها، فوالذي يحلف به ابو سفيان، الله بيعلم هو شو بيحلف يعني.
Now he's saying that the plot of Abu Sufyan was to address those whom the Prophet ﷺ, after the conquest of Mecca, told them, "You are the free." He was this accuser that you heard his voice earlier, and it's a video clip also. Is that Abu Sufyan was plotting to organize those people of Mecca who accepted, who entered Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ considered them free to enter and plot so as to take over the Khilafah. And then he attributed a saying to Abu Sufyan, and he gave a reference, which this reference is known to be filled with lies and fabrications. Al-Mas'udi, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, said that this is filled with weak and fabricated and lies narrations. So he uses that and attributing it to Abu Sufyan, that look what he said. He said, وَالَّذِي يَحْلِفُ عَلَيْهِ أَبُو سُفْيَان, by the one whom Abu Sufyan makes an oath by. And then he comments now on these words which he says attributed to Abu Sufyan, and Allah knows whom Abu Sufyan is making an oath by. You see that? You understand his insinuation and insult. This is just to show you that Muslims should not be misled easily by politics and political shows. but look at the creed of people and what they call for. We continue. Take for example the reward, the promise of reward they put on the pilgrims, they do to the pilgrim, they do to their sites or their grave sites, and these visits done by them and the tawaf they do around the graves and calling upon the dead and the occupants and seeking refuge in them, they consider this from the most magnificent of worship. In addition to many innovative worships which lack any kind of proof, but they put a lot of reward for them, like the festivities of Nairuz and the day of Ghadir and its night and the special invocations. In their reports also, it is stated that the imams possess guarantees that entitle the Shia to enter paradise. Security guarantees. And not only that, they give testimony to some of their followers in name. They promise the reward and they manifest it. From the texts that came in this regard is that which came in Rijal al-Kashi from Ziyad al-Qanadi or al-Qandi an Ali bin Yaqtin anna Aba al-Hasan qad damina lahu al-Jannah. Ziyad al-Qandi from Ali bin Yaqtin, who said that Aba al-Hasan secured for him the admittance to paradise, guaranteed for him the admittance to paradise. This is in Rijal al-Kashi, page 430. And also in the same page, 431. Just think about that. It is as if they possess the limitless mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is as if in their hands is the running of affairs, and so they guarantee and give certificates of forgiveness and certificates of deprivation from entering paradise. So do they have special running of affairs with Allah, or are they messengers receiving revelations, or did they see the unseen, or did they have a special covenant with Allah? Now their position regarding the threats, there is a great deal of focus on imputing kufr, disbelief, upon everyone who fought Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that anyone who fought him is a kafir, and anyone who fought Ali is in hell fire forever, as in their book Awailul Maqalat, page 10. This is the ruling concerning those who oppose them. This is also the ruling concerning those who oppose them. And that's why Ibn Babawi, their reference, qala, he said, wa'atiqaduna, and our belief fi man khalafana, concerning those who oppose us, in one single matters of the matters of the deen, is as if it is the same as our belief regarding those who oppose us in all the deen matters. This is in the book Al-I'tiqadat, page 116. So they impute punishment on those who oppose them, even in one single matter. But they don't affirm the threat, which is known as Al-Wa'id, to those who say they're saying. So they consider that anyone who opposes them in one single matter falls under the threat of being in hellfire. Now, what about their creed regarding the pillars of Iman? Regarding the pillars of Iman. The pillars of Iman, as we know, the pillars of faith are the belief in Allah, the belief in the angels, the belief in the books, the belief in the messengers, the belief in the last day, and the belief in the pre-decree. We spoke early concerning the deviation regarding the belief in Allah, in His Lordship, in His divinity, in His names and attributes. What about the belief therefore? Now we talked about the first part, the belief in Allah therefore. Let's go then to the belief in the angels. We know that the belief in the angels, in accordance with the correct belief, is to believe that they are created from light. But according to the Shia, they are created from the lights of the Imams, and that they are servants to the Imams, and that there are different groups, the angels, who were assigned to adhere and cling to the grave of Al-Husayn. Their reports say Allah created 70,000 angels from the light of Ali bin Abi Talib's face, who make istighfar for him and for those who love him until the day of resurrection. This is in Kenz Jami' al-Fawaid, page 334, and in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 23, page 320. And sometimes they say, as in Al-Ma'alim al-Zulfa, page 249, that Allah created the angels from the light of Ali. From the light of Ali. And that from the tasks of some of the angels is that they have no task, a group of them, they have no task except to sit and cry at the site of the Hussein's grave, and to come frequently to visit him. And that they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned 4,000 angels to the grave of Al-Hussein, crying him until the day of resurrection. This is in Wasa'il al-Shia, volume 10, page 318, and in Furu' al-Kafi, volume 1, page 325, and in Thawab al-A'mal, page 49, and in Kamil al-Ziyarat, page 189. And that the visit to the grave of Al-Husayn, this is the wish of the people of the heavens. Meaning there is none, they say, in the heavens, except that they ask Allah, meaning the angels, to give them permission to visit the grave of Al-Husayn. So a group descends and a group ascends. This is in At-Tusi's Tahdhib, volume 2, page 16, in Thawab al-A'mal, page 54, in Wasa'il al-Shia, volume 10, page 322. And they said that the angels are they are servants to their imams and to those who love the imams. And in one narration it says that Jibreel invoked Allah to be a slave, to be a servant to the imams. So they said Jibreel is our servant. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 344-345, and Irshad al-Qulub, page 214, and Kinz Jami' al-Fawaid, page 483. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, commented by saying, naming Jibreel, who is the messenger of Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a servant, this is a statement by someone who does not properly estimate the angels, nor estimates their sending to the prophets. This is in Shaykh al-Islam's Ibn Taymiyyah's Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 2, page 158. They have many, many claims, and if you read them, you will conclude that the angels have no other thing except their imams, and that they are as if they are angels of the imams, not angels to Allah. And they attribute to Abi Abdullah, wrongly of course, that the angels descend to their homes and turn in their beds and attend their meals and turn their wings on them, turning them with their wings, and that they come to join us in each salah, and that they bring them a night and day the news of the world and what occurs in it. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 356, and in Basair al-Darajat, page 27. And they say that their pillows, their children's pillows and their jewelry and necklaces and so forth, they take it from the wings of the angels. Not only that, but the angels also take care of their children. And that they say that the angels are entrusted with the matter of wilaya, and that those who may oppose from the angels may be subject to punishment, to the extent that one of the angels was punished by having his wing broken because he refused the allegiance to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that he was not healed until he came and rolled himself by the sight of al-Husayn. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 341, and in Basair al-Darajat, page 20. And that nothing honors the angels more than their acceptance of the wilaya of Ali. And that they say the angels eat not nor do they drink except the salah upon Ali bin Abi Talib and those who love him, and making istighfar for the sinners of the Shia. This is in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 349. There are other things regarding this, but sufficient what has been mentioned. What has been mentioned in itself is a refutation. Is that clear? You don't even need to refute. Isn't this clear? The reports themselves stand as a refutation. You don't even need to elaborate further. Now, regarding the books, the belief in the books, The Shia, the rejectionist Shia, believed in books which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down no authority for them. They claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon their imams books from the heavens, as He has sent books upon the prophets. and they claim that the Imams, the 12 Imams, possess books sent down upon them, and also the books that were sent upon all the prophets, so they read it. So they claim that they have books that came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Imams. And sometimes they bring some texts or some reports claiming that these were taken from these books. And upon that, therefore, they build matters of creed. And it may be that the roots of this may go back to the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, as reported in one of the narrations by Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu. And Abi Juhayfa taqal, he said, Abi Juhayfa said to Ali, هل عندكم كتاب? Do you have a book? He said, no, except the book of Allah, or an understanding that a Muslim may have been given. Or what is in this record? He said, what is in this record? He said, the ransom of the rulings, some rulings, the ransom of the captive, and that no Muslim should be killed for a kafir, etc. Ibn Hajar commented on this hadith and said that Abu Juhayfa asked him about this because some group of the Shia used to claim that with the household of the Prophet ﷺ, and especially Ali, there are things from the revelation which the Prophet ﷺ had particularized them with and kept them to them. And so that's why Ali was asked about it. And so he denied it. So the origin of this, therefore, it appears to have been during the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there are strong indications to indicate that the followers of Abdullah bin Saba, the Jew, were the ones who propagated these matters, since they said, we were guided to a revelation which others went astray regarding it, and they claimed that the Prophet ﷺ kept 9/10 of the Quran with him. And that the knowledge of this is with Ali, as in Al-Jawzajani, Ahwal al-Rijal, page 38. So therefore the claim of the Saba'i is that there is a preserved special revelation with Ali. This is the origin of this claim. And then this developed and took different forms, all focusing that the Ahlul Bayt, the household of the Prophet ﷺ, have special things, not with people, special revelations. However, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as in the report by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, categorically denied this. And anything that stems from falsehood is falsehood. The branch takes the ruling of the foundation. So from the books which they claim is the book called Mus'haf of Fatima. The Mus'haf of Fatima. The Shia claim that this was revealed upon Fatima after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they report from their books, as in Usul al-Kafi and Bihar al-Anwar and Basair al-Darajat, that the purpose of sending this book is to console her after the death of her father, quote unquote, and that the subject matter of this book is knowing what occurs. And one wonders what's the relationship between consoling her and knowledge of what occurs. And that the Shia claim in it there is news about the killing of her offspring, etc. So how could Fatima be given the knowledge of what will occur from things which she did not witness, when this is from the unseen? Is she better than the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Certainly not. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. If I were to know the unseen, I would have, yani, if I had known the unseen, I would have asked for more of goodness. But he didn't. And in this report they claim that Ali was the one who wrote what the angel dictated. Yet in other reports claim that after the death of the Prophet والسلام, Ali was busy with collecting the Quranic verses. This is in some reports of the Shia. And there is no doubt that lies, the signs of lies, or the signs of lying, are the contradictions and the oppositions. And they claim that in this Mus'haf contains the threefold what's in the Quran, as in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 239. And not only that, that it differs also in substance, as in volume 3, page 197, same source. And this is contradiction. How could it be to be a consoling and, you know, as in some of the reports we mentioned, and comforting here, how could it be more perfect than the Book of Allah? This shows you the degree of arrogance and transgression. And in other reports, which is another contradiction, they claim that the dictation was by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the writing was by Ali. So this indicates what? That the Mus'haf, that they call Mus'haf Fatima, its revelation, quote unquote, was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was alive, and that he was the one who dictated. So the reports are sharp, in sharp contradiction. This latter one is in Basair, in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 42, and in Basair al-Darajat, page 42. And all the imams, they say, the Shia say, that they take from Mus'haf Fatima a means to know the unseen and to check as to what will occur. This is in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 240. Example on that. And in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 48. And in Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, 305, 306. So, what's intended now to tell you is that the Mus'haf, quote unquote, of Fatima, which they claim, is a means, is a tool to check as to what occurs in this universe. And had this been true, or part of it been true, then the face of history, as they say, would have changed. And then what? Then the Imams would have known what will occur to them from tribulations and so forth. And that their hidden imam would not have gone into seclusion and hiding of fear. They would have known all of that in advance, right? And then they would have not been, they wouldn't be in need of taqiyya, concealment, for any little thing they resort to it. Because if they would come to know the reasons or the causes for the occurrence of something which is disliked, then they would take precautions. Other reports there add to that, claiming that what's in the Mus'haf of Fatima, it contains even the laws and the minimal of things which are needed for people. So therefore they don't need the Book of Allah. And suffice for them therefore the Mus'haf of Aisha, of Fatima so called, which speaks about the unseen and also about these detailed laws. Check for that is Usul al-Kafi, volume 1, page 240. They also claim that they have another book, they call it Al-Jami'a, the comprehensive one. In it there is halal and haram and compensations and so forth, as in Bihar Anwar, volume 26, page 23, and Basair al-Darajat, page 390. And also they have another record, they call it Sahifat al-Hudud, the prescribed punishments, record of prescribed punishments. And then they claim there is another thing called Al-Jafr, to the extent that they say that there is no bird that flies the air, that flies in the air and turns its wings, except that we have knowledge of it. This is Bihar al-Anwar, volume 26, page 19, Uyun Akhbar al-Rida, page 200. Also they have something called Dala'il al-Imama. This is from their trusted references, as attested to by Al-Majlisi in his book volume 1, Al-Bihar volume 1, 3940, and that this book contains what occurred and what shall occur to the day of resurrection, and the news of the heavens, and the numbers of the angels in the heavens, and the number of creatures, and their names, and the names of the prophets, and the names those who lied and who belied and those who accepted, and the names of all the creation from the believers and disbelievers, etc. And all of these things are what? In what? In two pages. Check Muhammad bin Jarir bin Rustam al-Tabari, Dala'il al-Nubuwa, page 27-28. Now the question is, why then this hidden imam of theirs, the so-called awaited Mahdi, and why should he stick in his tunnel? Why should he fear to be killed, as they claim this is the reason why he is in the tunnel, when he possesses all this knowledge? This is some only few of what is in their books regarding some of these books, Mus'haf Fatima and the Jafar and the Dala'il al-Nubuwa and Al-Jami'a and the Hudud, etc. Even the Shia claim there are other books as well, many. Again, sufficient from this to know what? That it stands on its own as a refutation. And then we say Alhamdulillah for the Islam and the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah for the Islam and the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah for the Islam and the Sunnah. Otherwise, had it not been for Allah, one could have been one of them. فالحمدللہ الذي عافانا من هذا. All praise is due to Allah who protected us from this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guidance to those who are misguided, and to save the ummah from their fitan. And may Allah the Most High make the banner of Islam and Sunnah high. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguish the false from the truth from falsehood, and make us from those who follow the truth with certainty, live on it and die on it and resurrected on it. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.